A Trip Westward by Zidkala Sah. The intense heat and the sticky car smoke that followed my homeward trail did not noticeably restore my vitality. Hour after hour, I gazed upon the country which was receding rapidly from me. I noticed the gradual expansion of the horizon as we emerged out of the forest into the plains. The great high buildings whose towers overlook the dense woodlands, and whose gigantic clusters form large cities diminished together with the groves, until only little log cabins lay snugly in the bosom of the vast prairie. The cloud shadows which drifted about on the waving yellow of long dried grasses thrilled me like the meeting of old friends. At a small station consisting of a single frame house, with a rickety boardwalk around it, I alighted from the iron horse, just 30 miles from my mother and my brother Doe. A strong, hot wind seemed determined to blow my hat off, and return me to olden days when I roamed bareheaded over the hills. After the puffing engine of my train was gone, I stood on the platform in deep solitude. In the distance, I saw the gently rolling lands leap up into bare hills. At their bases, a broad grey road was winding itself round about them until it came by the station. Among these hills, I rode in a light conveyance with a trusty driver. All the morning, I looked about me, recognizing old familiar skylines of rugged bluffs and round-topped hills. By the roadside, I caught glimpses of various plants whose sweet roots were delicacies among my people. When I saw the first corn-shaped wigwam, I could not help uttering an exclamation, which caused my driver a sudden jump out of his drowsy nodding. At noon, as we drove through the eastern edge of the reservation, I grew very impatient and restless. Constantly, I wondered what my mother would say upon seeing her little daughter grown tall. I had not written her the day of my arrival, thinking I would surprise her. Crossing a ravine thicketed with low shrubs and plum bushes, we approached a large yellow acre of wild sunflowers. Just beyond this nature's garden, we drew near to my mother's cottage. Close by the log cabin stood a little canvas-covered wigwam. The driver stopped in front of the open door, and in a long moment my mother appeared at the threshold. My mother had never gone to school, and though she meant always to give up her own customs for such of the white man's ways as pleased her, she made only compromises. Her two windows directly opposite each other, she curtained with a pink flowered print. The naked logs were unstained, and rudely carved with the axe so as to fit into one another. The soared roof was trying to boast of tiny sunflowers, the seeds of which had probably been planted by the constant wind. As I leaned my head against the logs, I discovered the peculiar odor that I could not forget. The rains had soaked the earth and roof, so that the smell of damp clay was but the natural breath of such a dwelling. "Mother, why is not your house cemented? Do you have no interest in a more comfortable shelter?" I asked. When the apparent inconveniences of her home seemed to suggest indifference on her part. "You forget, my child, that I am now old, and I do not work with beads anymore. Your brother Joe, too, has lost his position, and we are left without means to buy even a morsel of food," she replied. Joe was a government clerk in our reservation when I last heard from him. I was surprised upon hearing what my mother said concerning his lack of employment. Seeing the puzzled expression on my face, she continued, "Doe, has he not told you about the great father at Washington sent a white son to take your brother's spend from him? Since then, Doe has not been able to make use of the education the Eastern school has given him." I found no words with which to answer satisfactorily. I found no reason with which to cool my inflamed feelings.